Hey, good to be with you. Have you heard the news?
No, what's up?
Are you on social media?
Oh yeah, I'm out there.
Well, we're on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and
Okay. I think what you're saying is we are everywhere now.
yeah, we're pretty much out there.
Okay, cool. You can listen to us, you can watch us,
Yes.
you can watch us and listen to us. You know.
After you listen to us, you can watch us. We just got a report that people like to listen and then later watch. So you can see, find us, see us until you're sick of us.
And then you can find us and see us some more.
That's right. It's like Groundhog Day over and over.
Well, it's time for Road Adventures with Cycling Men of Leisure, the podcast for cyclists who understand that riding is not just about getting to the destination, but the experience along the way. Now, here are the original Cycling Men of Leisure, Adam and Michael.
Well, hello, sir. Good to be with you.
Hello again. Happy to be here for our second podcast. We talked last time about who we were and we introduced ourselves. You know, I thought it might be interesting if we talked a little bit about what kind of cycle we're on. What do we ride?
You mean my noble steed?
I am talking about Adam's noble steed. Absolutely.
So my noble steed is
and
a Trek.
Let me interrupt. He literally calls his bike his noble steed, and the man takes pictures of his bike, just the bike, leaning against trees and buildings and everywhere you could imagine. So
I've got hundreds of pictures of just my noble steed.
And it looks the same in every one of them.
No, not necessarily. Sometimes they have great lakes behind the bike. Sometimes they've had oceans behind the bike.
True.
Sometimes it's had lakes. Sometimes it's had woods. Sometimes it's had fences, or
sometimes it just lays on the ground where it has fallen.
It has unfortunately laid on the ground where it's fallen. This is true. Now, that last time, I don't even think that was my fault. I mean, we got off the bus from our trip to cross Iowa. We were setting up camp. I set it up against the fence. I didn't touch it. The wind didn't blow. Yep. Noble steed's on the ground. I thought maybe it's just like, I am not riding across Iowa again.
Well, you know what you do with horses when they won't get up. So maybe it's a sign. So what tell everybody about your bike. What are you riding? What is your noble steed?
I ride a 2013 Trek Damani 4.3. This was one of the first, or near the first, of the ISO speed and ISO coupler series, where they had a more comforting, it's a like a rubber piece with, on the seat post. So if you hit bumps, it's a little bit nicer. It doesn't feel as bad. It's not smooth by any means. When I first bought it, it was just regular rims and tires. I, of course, as you know, put carbon wheels on it. I also tried different saddles, but I went back to the original saddle that came with it. That was more comfortable saddle for me. And I rode it that way for quite some time, and all I did was change the grip tape and, of course, did regular maintenance on it. And then I saw some guys riding with aero bars. And when they were riding with the aero bars, I asked a lot of questions and said, hey, what is that like? And they're like, oh, it's great. You do long rides? And I said, yeah, I do. And they said, oh, you can lay down, you can relax. And sure enough, it took a little bit getting used to. It wasn't a natural feel when I first got them. But eventually, I have become to absolutely love them. I mean, as you know, you ride with me a lot. I would say that not only do I do it in the flats, not only do I do it downhill, but also going uphill. I find that I can actually pull up on the aero bar while pedaling, sometimes for a little extra power. So it is a blue and white paint scheme. It's not my favorite paint scheme, I won't lie. It's my bike and I love it. It's got 16,000 plus miles on it. My favorite paint scheme is the black and yellow and white by Trek. But at the time that I bought it, which is something we've talked about before, it was just went to the bike store that I had been previously to purchase a bike. And when I was asked my price range, that was the color of the in 2013, they usually offered one or two colors. And I don't know if they offer now Project One. You can go crazy on different colors that you want. But at the time, there was one or two colors. And I think the other one was white at the time. I won't promise on that, but I think it was just plain white. And I was like, I don't want that. I want some color.
Well, you know, I can change the color scheme of your bike. Bring it out here. I got a whole cabinet full of spray paint. We will spray paint it whatever color you want.
No, I'll pass. I mean, okay. It's definitely...
You were whining a lot about the color, so I thought, well, I can fix that for you.
Whether it's yellow, green, pink, orange, it's comfortable. And it fits me, and it was fit for me, and so I enjoy it. So you're right. You're right. It wasn't my favorite color, but I think I'm going to lay off the spray paint. The old Rust-Oleum's for the lawn furniture, not my bike.
Fair enough. But you do bring up a good point about comfort. It really doesn't matter what kind of cycle you're on out there. The important thing is as long as it's a comfortable ride. So,
yeah, it's taken me a while to get there. I don't want to be dishonest. I mean, when I first bought it, you know, first of all, I was inexperienced, and so I was trying to get used to it. But I've made a few adjustments along the way. I've taken the handlebars and rolled them forward or rolled them back a couple times. I rose the seat up a little bit, and then I would put it down. I was developing some pains in my knee, and when I had talked to the bike shop and I explained that, they said, well, bring the bike in. And the guy stood in front of the bike and put the front wheel between his knees, and he said, okay, now get up on the bike. And he said, oh, I can see what's going on right now. And he said, you don't have enough reach. And so we rose the seat up a little bit, and it took a little bit getting used to, but sure enough, he was absolutely right. On my longer rides, that really took away the pain. So if anyone's having a little discomfort or whatever, don't be afraid to go to your local bike shop and tell them what's going on. I mean, they're definitely knowledge. So what about you? I know what you ride, but our audience doesn't.
That's right. Well,
the pink Huffy.
But it's a fine, and it's more of a burgundy Huffy, actually, because that's a mighty fine Huffy you got there. No, I am on a 2016 Bianchi Intrepid, full carbon. Components are Shimano 105s, and the saddle that I have, I changed saddles out like 5-6 times last year trying to find the right one. Because some things had shifted in my body somehow. And I finally settled on the Shimano Pro Stealth. And that's what I rode all this year on. And that seems to be the saddle that's fitting me the most comfortable right now. But, it's more of a touring. The geometry is more set up for touring versus racing. It keeps me a little bit more upright as far as, being a little bit more aerodynamic, but I like that, cause I don't race. And like yourself, I've got aero bars on it. In fact, thanks to you, I've got aero bars on it.
That was something I definitely had to get sent over to you, because some of what we do is you and I enjoy to do the longer rides, maybe not during the ride, but the feeling of the accomplishment afterwards is just one of those amazing feelings. And so I thought, man, I got to get this sent over to you. So I'm happy to do that for you.
Well, I appreciate it. And it does take a while to get used to. Had them when we went to Ragbri, and Ragbri is so compact and there's so many people there. I didn't feel comfortable really working from my handlebars going down onto the aero bars because I felt a little wobbly. So it was something that I really had to kind of put off to later rides and just practice. And now it's a pretty smooth transition when I'm going from one position to the other. I like it because it kind of shifts your body a little bit, takes some of the pressure off your backside. And it really helps on the hills. You mentioned those, but man, you can get down there and you could just really helps you, you know, crank up those hills a little bit better. At least it does for me. Of course it's Bianchi. So there's only one color, as far as I'm concerned, any Bianchi bike should be
black.
So no, thanks for playing. it is the Celeste color, the Bianchi blue, if you would. So it's a really, really comfortable bike. I've had it since 2016. So, or maybe it was 2017, excuse me. But it's served me well. It's before I had a Le Mans, very happy with that, but it kind of crashed out. One thing I will say is this one only came with 105s when I originally bought it. And my plans were to beef those up a little bit and get a better set of components on it. My old Le Mans had the,
Altegra
on there. And I completely, I mean, those were, I couldn't move them over because I completely shot those. And I had intentions of moving up to a better or a higher level, components, but I didn't, and I haven't yet. And I probably won't, because I realized, you know what, for the way I ride, that fits me just right. And I haven't had any problems with it. So it kind of got down to, is it really worth the cost? I didn't think so. People out there would probably say, oh, definitely have to have a better component set, but it's served me well.
I think the Shimano 105, you know, one of the pros of doing that is if you were to break down, on some of the rides that you and I do, there's, you know, sag support and they have mechanics. I think you're going to find the Shimano 105 parts throughout most of those mechanics. I think that'd be a standard part that they would have. I think they would have Altegra as well, but I think push comes to shove due to the shortage and I don't know if you know, but there's this thing called COVID, and unfortunately it seems like everything is a shortage now, but I think you could still get Altegra parts, but I, in my personal opinion, I have no proof of that, but I think that you'd be better off if you could still get the Shimano 105s. I was going to do the same thing. I was going to upgrade, because the frame itself will take the Altegra parts and all you do is swap everything over. The problem that I had is I've got one of these, Saris bike trainers, and on that trainer I have the cog for the 10 speed, so it's for me, it's not just changing the bike to the 11 speed Altegra, then I got to buy the cog for the trainer, and then it's just the fallout. So I was like, you know what, same thing as you, for the type of riding that I like to do, I don't ever think that I'm gonna get the $500 out of it by changing it. I'm so comfortable with the bike now. I enjoy the riding style of it. And I think it also helps with, like you said, it's all in your mind. If you have a large ride to do, whether a large ride to you is 20 miles or a large ride to you is 100 miles or 160 or whatever you're doing for the day or for the adventure, maybe do a week-long ride across the state, it's all upstairs and whether you can do it in the confidence level. I think that's important, to have a bike that you feel comfortable with. And for me, that's it. I don't care if it's a 2013. It's a comfortable bike for me. So,
and I totally agree with you. It's all about the mindset, all about the mindset.
So you have your bike. Do you have favorite shoes? Do you like a certain kind of pedal style? I mean, I know in our last episode, you talked about, you know, clip-in shoes. I mean, different people have different styles. Do you have a favorite style?
I use SPDs. The shoes that I have are not like a racing style shoe. It's more of a mountain type bike shoe. It's got the cleat actually fits up into kind of a channel.
Like, so when you're
walking, yes. So when you're walking, number one, you don't have that I'm on tap shoes type sound. Yeah. But, it's those are the kind I've been using those forever. I do like those better than the look style pedals. I know, unlike my Peloton, has a look style pedal on it. I do not like those as much as what I'm currently using.
The Peloton, the one that last time I was there that had the sweater hanging on the seat?
Well, I bought the upgraded version of Peloton. It's the Peloton / clothes drying rack. So it was an upcharge, but I think well worth it.
You know, that thing in the middle of the night, When I come to your place, I stay in your guest bedroom. In the middle of the night, that thing went on by itself. I kind of got creeped out. I'm like, what is going on here? So I don't know if it did an update or something. I'm like, I'm not riding at 2 a.m. So I have the Look Style pedal. Actually, SRAM took over the pedal that I had. It was called the PowerTap P1. And what had happened was, is when back before what is now Cycling Men of Leisure, I was having that riding style of I wanted to go bigger, better, more, faster. And some of the guys I was riding with had the power pedals. And there's some pros to that. I mean, I could see what I was doing. What's really nice about the pedals, when everything is working correctly, and which is most of the time, you can actually see which foot you are dominant on. If you're, pedaling more with your right foot, you can actually look right down on your head unit, your computer, and you can say, oh, well, look at that. Every time I pedal 60%, I'm using my dominant, which is I'm right-handed, so that makes sense, but you can actually kind of go back and forth and make it more equal. So I'm actually looking at doing a pedal change and a cleat change. Unfortunately, my cleat is not recessed. The kind of rides that we do, we park in these towns and we do a lot of walking around. I think I'm par for the course for changing the cleats after every trip. So I think before our season that starts in 2023, you might see me with a different pedal and a different style of cleats. So
yeah, you go through cleats like no tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think it's because we really do enjoy the towns that we go into. Like if I mention Ragbri, the Register's annual great bike ride across Iowa. You know, when you and I go to those towns, it's not a race for us. We like to enjoy it. We like to see, one of the exhibits I can remember last year was the big tractor and its sister and its sister and its sister. And it kept getting smaller and smaller until they had the one, which was just the Matchbox car. But what was really cool is, and just to give everybody an image, they had a bar connecting each one of these tractors. So I think it was about 15 tractors. It went from a large to just the next size down to the next size down to a riding tractor, to an RC tractor, to a toys tractor, like a small 1/10 scale and then all the way down to the Matchbox car or Matchbox tractor. And they were all connected. So I thought that was pretty cool. So you and I enjoy doing that, and so we stop and take pictures, and of course my cleats get a lot of wear and tear, so they actually become so sharp on the bottom that when going up some of the hills it gets so thin that I have, while pulling up, it just pulled right out of the pedal. So I think it's definitely time for a change. So so you got your bike, you got your pedal. So that's pretty much it for me for equipment. But let me ask you something, just for funsies, if you will. If money wasn't an object and you could buy any bike you want, have you ever like kind of looked in the store and was like, wow, I would love to have that?
We'll be back after a quick break. Oh, absolutely. I think everybody does. I think the first one would be I would just get an RV and become the SAG driver and not cycle at all. Of course, you'll call me names, so then I'd have to start cycling. So then I think I'd just invest in a good e-bike.
All right.
No, I joke. I have thought about it, and I don't know. There's a lot of really good bikes out there. I think the one that would most interest me right now, based upon what I've seen, what I've tried out, is Canyon.
Nice.
Canyon Ultimate CF 218 Disc Aero. Really solid bike. It seems to match the type of cycling that I do. And so I think that would be a good choice. It's not super expensive. I mean, it's around
$1 million.
Not quite. It's around $5,500, somewhere in that area.
So
all carbon.
As a joke to my wife, every time that we have a disagreement, which is not that often, but if we ever have a disagreement, I always tell her, well, I'm going to the bike store and buying a new bike. And she always says, well, you better not. So what I did one time was, is as I've mentioned before, my friends own a bike shop. And I, by the way, they weren't my friends before. They became my friends after I bought the bike, but they were actually came to my wedding and they're just wonderful people. And so we went there, and on display, they had a Trek Damani SLR9 ETAP. And this is like a $13,000 bike. So unless something happened like tonight, the day this is being recorded, the Mega Millions is like $420 million. So if I won $420 million, okay, maybe I would do that. But I would never spend $14,000 on a bicycle. But what I do is I always joke with my wife and I'll say, that's it, I'm going to go buy that bicycle. You better not. So this is the Damani that's I do look at when I go to the store, when I look go over there. Inside the main tube, they have a compartment that literally holds your tube and tire changing, and it's the water bottle cage and all. So you just kind of turn this dial and it opens up and it has everything in there like a pouch. ETAP, it has electronic shifting. And now that's another story, because I've always wondered with electronic shifting, you have to charge that. And is that something else I want to charge? And, you know, I have no idea how long those charges last, but you and I have both heard times of guys who've been on some of these longer rides and saying they got stuck in one gear because it wouldn't shift. So, if I had indispensable amount of money, that would be a bike that I would love to own. But you know, honestly, when I always think about getting a new bicycle, truthfully, I go back and I'm so comfortable with mine and I know what to expect that I'm not sure I'd eventually someday I'm going to have to, but right now I'm perfectly fine with not doing that. So.
Oh, I know how you feel. When I had my Le Mans, I was perfectly happy with that. And I had had it for 15 years and it was just to the point once the components were worn out, I was just, I might as well get me something new, but it is a nice piece of wall art.
Yeah, I mean, did you Nebraska with that?
I did Nebraska, yeah. When I started riding across states, that is the bike I started on.
That's cool. So that bike has been across Nebraska and Iowa. And what about Wisconsin?
That bike has been across Nebraska twice. It's been across Kansas. It's been across Iowa. And a couple of times.
Rhode Island?
Yeah. All 30 miles of it across Rhode Island. We joke about Rhode Island because I used to live in Rhode Island and it's a small state and most people don't have any idea about Rhode Island. Most people have never been there and that type of stuff. It's a beautiful state. I love living there, but it is not very far across. So
no, my noble steed has been across Iowa four times. Michigan twice across and once up and down, not completely, to be fair. That started in Lansing and went to Mackinac, but across Georgia, Illinois, a little bit of Kentucky. So that's the other thing. I think for me, that bike has been, you know, so many places with me that I kind of take pride in every time I get to add a new ride. I tell someone, oh yeah, you know, it's been here and been there. Well, I mean, we can get you that e-bike. I was just, I'm looking online right now and they've got the Trek Damani E-Series. So I was thinking maybe that's what you could get yourself if you really wanted it. So
now I'll wait till my knee blows out completely and then I'll think about that. But until that time, I think I'll stick with the straight non-electric bike.
So, since this is the podcast called Road Adventures with Cycling Men of Leisure, let me ask you, Do you have a favorite adventure with your new Blue Bianchi?
Favorite adventure? We're talking cycling. Are we talking a single incident or like an instance or like a full ride? Or I need some guardrails here.
All right. Well, don't hit the guardrail, first of all. No. You always want to stay away from those. I think that's a fair question. Let's steer the question this way. Is there any time that you've been on your Bianchi and you just had that freeing feeling of like, wow, this is really cool?
Yes. Most recently, I would point to Kentucky, the Bourbon Country Burn. On the final day, we did a ride, and a lot of it, the weather was, or maybe it was Saturday, the second to last day. The weather was kind of cloudy, a little windy. We had some headwind, a big chunk of it, and we got to this probably 4 or 5 mile section where we turned off this main road, which was quite a bit of traffic, and we turned onto kind of this rolling blacktop road. And boy, let me tell you, all three of us that were in our little group, it was just one of those roads, and the temperature was perfect. And boy, you just got on there and you just, I mean, you weren't trying to go fast, but it just felt so good and so freeing. You're flying through the countryside. There's horse farms next to you. And it was just these nice little rolling hills and some really nice curves. And it was one of those times where you're just like, ah, this is just fun. So
I know exactly what you're talking about. I believe the reason why that little stretch was so nice is because they did have elevation, but the elevation to downhill back and forth allowed you to build up enough speed that you had enough inertia coming down that you could just crest the top of the hill. And it wasn't just that. I think it was the scenery and that creek off to the left. And that was a pretty cool spot. So mine would have been a month before that, when we were on Lake Michigan, and here we were, right, our bikes right on Lake Michigan.
Oh, that was nice.
And I enjoyed Kentucky. Don't get me wrong. That was definitely a nice stretch there. And Kentucky has a lot more elevation than I realized before we signed up for that ride, by the way. one of our recent adventures when we were up north Michigan, we rode from Petoskey and we went to the top of the lower peninsula to Mackinac to the bridge. When we were riding right there up against Lake Michigan, and it was just a beautiful day, and that was just one of those moments where it's like, yes, this is awesome. And you know, I always take a lot of pictures, and so I have a lot of pictures from those memories. I think that's why I still enjoy cycling so much is the adventures that I enjoy your company, sir. But
thank you.
The adventures and the things that we do and the things that we get to see, and this country is so vast and so many beautiful things to see, and it's, I think being on a bicycle doing it is still very passionate to me.
Completely agree.
Well, I think that for this segment, that kind of completes it, unless you have anything to add, of course.
I think the only thing I have to say is what I always have to say, Adam.
It's a great day for a bike ride.
Indeed.
Thank you for coming along with Adam and Michael on Road Adventures with Cycling Men of Leisure. If you have enjoyed this, please subscribe to the show on the podcast app of your choice.
Hey, have you heard the good news?
No, what's up?
We have 2 official week-long rides on our schedule.
Oh boy. Where are we going?
Well, first we're going to be heading to Georgia with brag.org, excuse me. And we've officially signed up for Shoreline, a ride in Michigan on Lower Peninsula at rideshoreline.org.
Going to ride the shoreline of Michigan. It should be fun.
If you haven't signed up, join us. We will be at both of those events. We look forward to having you with us. Definitely check out rideshoreline.org and brag.org. So we'll look forward to seeing you this summer.